Thank you, musicians. Wow, what a treat. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. When I was a sophomore at Gustavus Adolphus College, the King and Queen of Sweden made a visit. And though I didn't meet them face to face, I remember the feeling of being on the plaza with all the other students, waving our Swedish flags, praising them, and hooting and hollering. It was fun. My husband even made the Star Tribune cover with his antics. It was so much fun. It's probably the closest that I can relate to what it must have been like for the crowds and Jesus on his way into Jerusalem riding that colt that we just heard Pastor Dixon read about. Today's Palm Sunday. We hear that story every year on Palm Sunday, and it's just the first story we hear today. The second one we don't hear usually on Palm Sunday. Maybe we don't hear it that often at all, but it's actually a prominent story in each of the Gospels. It's in each Gospel where the woman comes into a dinner party and anoints Jesus. Sometimes he anoints her feet, but in this one, she's anointing his head. It takes place in the house of Simon, whom I'm guessing Jesus has probably healed in his ministry so far, and now he's a close friend of Simon. And Jesus and Simon and disciples are together, and this woman breaks in. And to me, the two stories are like very appropriately together because they show me the breadth of what praise really looks like. And three things struck me about what praise and Jesus look like in these stories. The first one is be real. False hype doesn't last. Number two, be brave. Courage doesn't look like domination. And number three, be you. Do what you can to follow and serve Jesus. First, be real. The closest analogy I have for maybe what I think the shift between the spirit of Palm Sunday is to Good Friday would be maybe when you're in a sports arena. And I think particularly of when I was in 10th grade and our team was playing for the regional championship against a team that was better than us, had more, they were ranked higher, they had more enthusiasm, more energy, more crowd, more everything, and we were visibly intimidated. And my coach said to us, don't be intimidated. What they are displaying is false hype, and false hype doesn't last. Just stay the course, focus on what matters, and all will be well. And he was right. The pregame excitement didn't last. It carried them for a while, but it didn't sustain them because they were focused more on that excitement and crowd stuff than they were on focusing on what really mattered. The same is true on Palm Sunday. The crowds are excited. They expect that this is the military king that will come and save them, and they find out it's actually a different kind of a king, and soon they jump ship. And so the theme, the message to us is, in our praise, don't get too hyped up falsely. Be real in your praise, because false hype doesn't last. Secondly, Jesus teaches us to praise by being brave. Earlier this week, I had the privilege of speaking at my grandma's memorial service. She was almost 99 years old, and she gave me a great piece of wisdom many years ago when I was struggling to make what I thought was a major life decision. She simply said two words, and they go with me wherever I go. Be brave. She knew something of bravery. She'd lived lots of hard things, as you can imagine, in 99 years. Perhaps most influential was when her husband died when she was 38 years old. Married to a pastor, was living in a parsonage, had three young kids, so at under the age of 11, had no home anymore, had no job because women at that time weren't working outside the home, had no pension insurance, any of that. And somehow she made it through with the help of the cloud of witnesses that were her church and community. She modeled bravery for me, and those two simple words, be brave, stick with me whenever I need a little extra strength. But bravery doesn't mean strength in the ways that we typically think of strength. I think it doesn't mean adding more to protect ourselves, putting on armor to fight. Bravery means going the opposite way, just as Jesus does on his way to the cross. Being brave taps into what is most vulnerable. And at the same by doing that, at same time, by doing that, you tap into what is most valuable. In the story of the woman who anoints Jesus with this expensive ointment or perfume, she breaks into this dinner party to anoint him, and she's a woman. And women had no place at the table at that time. Women, if they were in the scene, were probably serving the meal. On top of that, to extravagantly, boldly walk in and spill what was worth 1 year's wages over Jesus in one instant caused a great deal of criticism, but she doesn't even give it a thought. She doesn't strategize or calculate the implications of what she might be doing will do to her. Instead, she simply walks in, breaks open that expensive jar, and recognizes who is in her midst, that Jesus is the king who needs to be anointed for burial. She risks ridicule and criticism, and she does get that. The entire Gospel of Mark shows stories of Jesus healing or giving exorcisms or creating miracles that point to him being the Messiah, but those that are closest to him, the disciples, never quite get it. But this woman does. And she bravely shares her most sacred possession to honor Jesus and prepare him for what is to come. And Jesus notices. She shows us that courage is not being motivated by fear or what other people might think. Courage is stepping into the places that might not be comfortable, but surely bring new life. The unnamed woman brings true praise to Jesus in her courage. So praising Jesus means we need to be brave. Thirdly, the passage shows us that honoring and praising Jesus simply means you need to be you. Jesus says so beautifully about this woman and her act of anointing him, she has done what she could. It is no surprise that the disciples would criticize this. They probably compare themselves to her. They've been already doing that throughout the gospel, talking about who's the greatest among them. They've been squabbling about money matters. They've been worried about not having enough food to feed the 5,000. They're always thinking about themselves above others. And that's kind of true for all of us at times, and that's what Jesus comes to help us recognize. We want Jesus to notice us. We want to be sure we have enough. We want to share what we have with others when we have enough for ourselves. We want to be sure that we're proving ourselves as good enough. But the good thing is, Jesus says, I'm not comparing you to anyone. Jesus doesn't compare us to one another. Simply says, do what you can. I love you for who you are. You be you. Don't compare what you do to someone else. What you bring is an unrepeatable gift. It will be imperfect, but that's why you're not God. I'm God and you're not. And don't criticize what someone else does, especially when it's beautiful. Do what you can. That's what this unnamed woman did today, and Jesus says her story will be told every time the good news is shared. Today is Palm Sunday. We sing praises, we sing shout hosannas, but the stories we hear bring a new dimension to what praise really means. Be real, be brave, be you. Because that's the way of Jesus. He knows what is to come later this week. The hype around the entrance to Jerusalem doesn't even faze him. He knows it won't last, but when it goes away, his bravery comes through in his humility as he makes his way to the cross. And that is where Jesus does what only he can do. He dies for us and he rises again so that we will live abundantly now and forever. May we bravely live this good news, not only this Holy Week, but every single day of our lives. Thanks be to God. Amen.